Oh, yummy.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to Transformation Cafe. So glad for you to be joining us, wherever you are. You know, we've had people messaging us lately, letting us know that, you know, sometimes they can't sleep during the middle of the night, and they just turn on one of the shows, and it gives them something nice to think about and helps them go back to sleep, or at least gives them something in a positive way to kind of keep them company while they're working their way back to some slumber time. So I just think that's just really wonderful. Gift to know that we're out there doing that kinds of stuff. So, and I'll go ahead and get my lovely and talented, awesome sister, Miss Amy. How are you doing tonight?
Whoop, whoop. I am doing fabulous. I'm really excited about what we're going to be stepping into for a couple of reasons, because I get to be playing with my heart friends and really looking at some stuff that I think can help us and help everybody who's listening now and in the future.
Yeah. And we have one of our regular guests, when it's not even a guest chef. She's just a chef in the house. Miss Alana,
right.
How are you tonight?
I'm well, thank you. I too, Amy, am really excited to see where we're going to go with this book study and just, you know, what will open up for people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and I really want to thank Alana for coming on and she's just jumped in with 2 feet. And I just love that about her just loving spirit and just helping us to just give one more voice on the table. I think it's wonderful to have that. So we're excited. We're back in the Cafe Book Club. And this is kind of an introduction tonight on the 5 invitations, discovering what death can teach us about living fully. And Amy had a friend give that to her, Miss Kristen.
Kristen.
And right. And we're basically going to talk tonight about the foreword and also the introduction with Frank. And we were talking just a little bit before we went live tonight, and Alana was saying how every page you want to underline stuff. And I think it's almost like, what am I not going to underline?
It would be easier, would save us time just to talk about that.
Like, okay, let me just mark the things I don't want to go back to, because everything else is just so awesome. So we started a new segment last week where we were talking about flower power and getting into the flower wisdom, flowerful wisdom. And since we're starting into this book, I just kind of got quiet. And what flower came up for me with the flower wisdom is a hydrangea. And hydrangeas are all about unity and global expansion and global expression. And if you're not familiar with a hydrangea, it's literally a ball of blossoms that all look like little soft plus sizes. So like think of a plus symbol, and it's this soft, beautiful expression of that. And when you look at that symbol, the plus symbol, it has to do with relationship. It has to do with, the whole thing of duality, the give and take, the up and down, all the different kinds of ways that it's, you know, working with just the different dualities that we deal with in living on the planet. And the one thing about hydrangeas is the one affects the many, and the many affects the one. So it's really going back to all the things that we're hearing on a spiritual level right now about, you know, the whole thing with COVID and how it, you know, no one's not getting not touched by this, and realizing
right.
that we're all pretty much being put into the same situation. And there's actually a really lovely little thing that they had in the introduction that Frank wrote about. He said, without a remembering of death, we can't take life for granted. Often becoming lost in endless pursuits of self-gratification, when we keep death at our fingertips, it reminds us not to hold on to life too tightly. Maybe we take ourselves and our ideas a little too seriously. We can let go and have a little more ease. We can recognize that death comes to everyone, and we appreciate that we all are in the same boat together. This helps us to become a bit kinder and gentler with one another. And boy, when I read the same boat together, there's so many people that have said that, you know, we're all in the same boat when it comes to COVID. And having it be something that's really putting us all literally with that same kind of perspective. Yes, we're all going to get touched in a little bit different ways. I also heard a really beautiful metaphor with that is like, you know, imagine standing at the edge of an ocean. Some people are going to be just kind of, you know, affected a little bit by the waves, and some people may get a tidal wave, depending on, you know, what's going on with them. So we're just really looking at hydrangeas. Hydrangeas are really unusual, too, because depending on the acidity or the alkaline of the flower, depending what kind of soil it grows in, it will express different colors. Because the more acid that's in the soil, it'll turn more blue. And with more alkaline, it'll turn more pink. So there's this whole meaning behind the names of looking at the different ways that they express themselves in the colors. And like pink is about love and serenity. Blue is about forgiveness. And purple I really love because it's about abundance and understanding. And they're saying that the first time that they discovered it was in Japan, and they used the symbol of the hydrangea as a sign of gratitude. So I think it's so wonderful to have this beautiful flower that, for me, when I look at it, and just when somebody really loves that flower, it's somebody who can look at a very global perspective, being able to look at knowing that, you know, as I go in the world, I affect others and they affect me in a way that, you know, is I want to be kind because I want to have kindness can be something that comes back to me. You know, as you give, so you shall receive. So it's really one of those things that the hydrangea whispers continually. And it's become very popular with weddings and things like that. I was sharing with Alana and Amy earlier yesterday about, you know, it just seems like it's been this precursor to the COVID that the past 3 or 4 years that hydrangeas have gotten really, really popular with weddings and things like that. So there's this whole thing about knowing that, you know, it's a bigger way that we're all affecting one another and have something that can be really beautiful in the way that it just encompasses everything. And yet you can get into the little details of that and it's still expressing itself. So it's a very macro expression of this oneness that we can have in the world. So with that, you know, it's like looking the same way about, you know, discovering what things can really teach us and being able to live a little more fully in life, that hydrangea can really help us to hold that as we move forward with, you know, looking at the Cafe Book Club. So there we go when it comes to hydrangeas. Any thoughts about that, girls?
Well, for me, what really is prominent about that is depending on the soil, right, your mm-hmm. your results, what you're showing to the world would change. So I think this has been a perfect time and continues to be to look at what is the soil around you, what is feeding you, and maybe make some changes if it's not producing what you want.
And the same thing with, if, you know, do you want it to have a little more alkaline or acid or whatever? You know, do you want to change the mm-hmm. color of how you're expressing yourself in the world? Anything for you, Alana?
I love that we talked about, you know, just the many making the one. That's so true right now. How, you know, we're all having to work together at this point to bring about some wholeness, you know, some healing and some peace in the world. And you know, hope we're all, you know, we're all part. Just kind of remind, we're all part of this life, and so.
Yeah,
all the things, all of us, every part of us makes up this life that we have. And, you know, we want it to be beautiful.
Yeah. And I, you know, when I think of that, it always reminds me of, you know, when everything did get shut down within a week or so, you know, look at what happened in Venice and all that. You know, the dolphins are jumping in the canals and the pollution basically reversed itself. And it was just a minimal amount of time, which is so amazing. You know, to see, you know, being the oceans being able to come back and thrive again and just being able to get that break, that knowing that, you know, as we can be that much more respectful and you know, just being more mindful on a, you know, bigger level, how that just impacts everything. That's just, to me, that I just always am just in awe that happened so quickly.
So I think part of it is stepping into the five invitations and, you know, the people might think, oh, it's about death. Well, really what it's about is change. And because with any change, there's death to some things, right, and things shift and change. And so I think it's a beautiful metaphor, and it's one of the reasons that we, you know, the three of us decided this would be a great thing to do, is like, how do we support ourselves and each other in all these changes that are happening on every level, on our work, in our relationships, in our countries, in our cities, everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, I love that. Frank mentions that, right, in here, that if this isn't just about death, this could be, mm-hmm. I underlined that, right? It helps us deal with loss or a situation in which you feel caught in a small-mindedness or a feeling out of control, whether you're going through a breakup, a divorce, coping with an illness, a layoff, shattering of a dream, a car accident, or even a fight with a child or colleague. I mean, this is, you know, the wisdom of death has relevance.
Beautiful. And I think that's what's so important. There's so many great tools. Like I said, I've been underlining all over the place myself, and that this really help us all to learn. Rachel Naomi Remy, she's a medical doctor, and she wrote The Kitchen Table Wisdom, which is a phenomenal book. She wrote the foreword. She says, the purpose of every life is to grow in wisdom and learn to love better.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And she says, if this is your purpose, then The Five Invitations is the book for you. Sold. I'm in. How about you, kids?
Definitely.
So I'm going to start with, anything else from the foreword for either of you?
Oh, I just love that she says, for many people, authentic life starts at the time of death, not our own death, but someone else's. And to me, I immediately thought, I mean, as I opened the book and cracked open the book, I immediately thought of two women friends I know that have lost children recently. My grandparents' hospice care, both scenarios for that came through to me. And, you know, I immediately thought of people that I love. Or people that I love that have lost someone, and through the filter of that, you know, that their authentic life is starting after the loss of that loved one.
And I think it's really important. We want to support each other in remembering that, right? It's easy to be in that moment when something significant like that happens. And I really want to support myself and each of us to continue to live consciously, really, you know, without having to have those things happen.
How about you, Robin?
And I know with the passing of, I know when my father died, for me, it really was a wake up. It was my spiritual wake up. So I think that's something that goes along with that too. When we do have a loved one pass, that there could be an invitation for us to be just learning to listen a little more intently to our inner wisdom. And being guided in a different way than we might have known before. So it's being able to have new promptings that come into our lives that if we follow that thread can turn into different growth for spirituality and just maturity within our hearts and the way we're able to listen. And I think that's something that Frank talks about as well. I mean, you know, just discuss the massive amounts of a presence that he's had with people is something that we really need to just so appreciate that he was able to write these experiences so we can really learn from them. So I'm looking forward to the adventure on that as well.
You know Robin, for me, our father died when he was 49, and my best friend Dee died at 49. So I had a really strong rebirth at 50. I mean, there was a part of me going, am I going to make it to 50? And that was really when I really, really reevaluated my life very seriously.
I think we all did.
I like this part. I like the part in talking about, you know, waking up, you know, and changing, you know, the transition perfectly from the foreword to the introduction whenever it talks about overcoming the inertia of patterns of behaviors and thoughts. Becoming mindful of our values, of our views and beliefs. And I love that, but this was the part that really woke me up. I thought, whoa, this is amazing. Fixed views and habits silence our minds and incline us toward life on automatic pilot. I was like, that's amazing. Yes. I mean, if you can't, like, if you're like, someone dies, this happens, or this, you know, someone dies, this is how we react, or someone dies, and this, you know, if you're stuck in that patterns, but like, if you allow it to open something inside you, so you allow it to spark something inside you, you know, you can have, it can be so much, it awakens your mind again.
And I like how,
you know, thoughts
talk about Abraham Maslow, talking about him having a near fatal heart attack, and then him writing about that after, and how life seemed so much more precious and beautiful. And, you know, it was really interesting, too, to be able to think about Maslow as a person, right? He's like this theory, but to think of him as a person and having him have this near-death experience, which caused him to say, I'm really going to be fully present.
Yeah, I think about that, too, is because Wayne Dyer was a student of his. So I think it would be interesting to see the fact that Abraham had been affected by that, how that was something that was reflected into the people that were near him at the time that happened, and if that's something that Wayne was privy to. That would have been an interesting kind of sideline, not the whole thing.
An interesting fan fact that Wayne Dyer got his Ph.D. He walked on the stage to get his Ph.D. the day that Abraham Maslow died.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So it's kind of like he was carrying the, you know, carrying on his legacy.
Carrying the torch. Yeah,
did.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, really fascinating. And I love, you know, how Frank really, he's so kind, and he's, you know, and as you get to read more and read his stories, and I know about him, and Stephen Levine, who he honors at the beginning and dedicates the book to Stephen Levine. And I've got to spend a day with Stephen and his wife in a workshop, that they're the real deal. You know, they really live this, and they help people live this. And so we get to experience those stories, and we get to say, how do I bring this into my life? And Frank has this lovely sense of humor. So did Stephen Levine. And, you know, here on page 3, he says, and, you know, I know both of you have heard me say this, none of us are getting out of here alive. So that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So pay attention. We're going to need this at some point or another.
Robin, we had talked before about the tea, you know, what's the tea? And I love this line here. It says, this book is an invitation, 5 invitations actually, to sit down with death, to have a cup of tea with her, to let her guide you toward living a more meaningful and loving life. And I just, that, having a cup of tea with her, thinking of death as a female presence instead of the Grim Reaper, the man, death has come to get you, right? But thinking of death as her, personified as a female, it just seems so much more nurturing and to me, for some reason, just that a big nurturing energy into that.
And doesn't it feel more right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't know. Well, for me, I just, like, that feels more right than to think it's this cloaked being that's, you know, on a boat and taking me to Hades. I don't think I want to have tea with that dude. No, that's okay. I'm good.
So Mother Teresa, you know, a large part of her work was helping people at end of life, and her thing was really about helping people experience unconditional love. And I don't know if you know this. I used to do a lot of work in hospice, but a lot of nurses became midwives for people at end of life. And because it really was like, and one quote of Mother Teresa's that most people don't know is that she says, birth is the miracle that brings us here, and death is the miracle that takes us home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really in alignment with this, you know, that the feminine and the birthing, the midwifing into, you know, into what's next for you. You know, whether we think know that or not, maybe we do, but birthing into something.
And doesn't that feel right, considering that, you know, you would come into the world with, a midwife? You would go out that way.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes so much sense that it would be more that full cycle that, you know, of coming that full way of being able to that. And, I mean, don't we come, I think, you know, in just my aspects of understanding death, that we would come to that level of just being weak and allowing others basically to be there to really care for us, because we're not in a place where we can do it for ourselves, just like a baby. You know,
what's amazing about
no matter where we are,
is how That's definitely. I love that we're going this direction because, you know, Frank writes in here that he came to study grief and witness it and become a part of the Zen Hospice program, you know, by going to learn about the birth of his son, Gabe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he went to someone who deals with grief and loss to get to understand how to welcome his son into the world. So beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And they talk
yeah.
about, you know, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, and, you know, she's this icon, and the five stages of grief. It was written by her. She worked in a cancer hospital. And she mm-hmm. wrote the five stages were about the five stages that you go through when you're dying. And they've taken it
right.
to other places. But it's really about that
right.
and having and her experience, him experiencing her. And here I just love on the top of page 7 where he says, Elizabeth was skillful, intuitive, and often opinionated. But above all else, she demonstrated how to love those she served without reservation or attachment.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a loving mother? Isn't that what we all want?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How poignant was this? Was this account? I underlined like most of this page because it's so.
Yeah,
this
me
is
too.
Just getting that teaching moment from your mentor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but I loved how he talks about he was trying to take away. I mean, how many people have you witnessed whenever they are experiencing loss? You want to take away their pain. You want to help them you just want to fix it and bring it on yourself. And, you know, it says, my attempts at taking away the participants' heartache were just a self-defense strategy, a way of trying to protect
mm-hmm.
myself from suffering. And then then he talks about how he just had this horrible time. And she says, you have to open yourself up and let the pain move through you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not yours to hold. And I loved that. I mean, like, as you're witnessing someone's pain and grief, that you have to let it just move through you and don't try to hold it for them. It's theirs to hold and not yours.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, how beautiful is that? And you stand as that unconditional love. You stand as that rock, that foundation
yeah.
for them to
yeah.
let it go through. Yeah, that's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful.
I think it's important with that, what Alana just shared. He said, without this lesson, I don't think I could have stayed present in healthy ways with the suffering I would witness
mm-hmm.
for decades to come.
Yep.
So it's
well,
just
as a
one,
parent,
you know,
right?
Back,
as,
mm-hmm.
as a leader.
Or anyone, really, anyone.
Yeah.
And I was being asked to do a presentation for my network this morning, and I really looked at it's just the listing of the five presentations. I mean, the five invitations, and I walked
mm-hmm.
through those as if, you know, being a
wow.
somebody in business and looking at it from that perspective and being able to talk about where we are with COVID and being able to move through that.
Yeah.
Beautiful, Robin.
So just like she was able to use, you know, the different stages of grief and dying, being able to take these invitations
well,
and being able to roll them into just different aspects of your life.
And well, she wrote one of my favorite books is Life Lessons, but she co-wrote with David Kessler, who was an expert on grief. He's an amazing person. I've been able to experience him many times in workshops. I almost stalked him a little bit, so we'll just see what we get. I think the restraining order is over. But anyway, the two of them wrote Life Lessons, and it was her in her dying process writing about mm-hmm. the stages of grief that she had written about and that she was famous for. It's an amazing book called Life Lessons by Elizabeth and by David Kessler. So we're going to be wandering through this, what I recommend is I would have a journal that's committed to this work. And, you know, we've got the Transformation Cafe community that to, you know, let's really dive in this together and support each other in this beautiful work that we all need so much right now as we're going through all the deaths, right, all the changes that are happening for all those. So are you ready for me to do the mindset moment?
Yeah, let's do a mindset. I'm ready.
Okay. Alana, are you ready too?
Sure, yes.
Ready or not, here we go. All right. So let's take a nice deep breath. So what came to me and doing, getting ready for this is, you know, we talk about end of life, but also what is it, restarting your life, really, and having that, you know, we having a near-death experience so you can have a near-life experience. So I have done a lot of Buddhist practice, and a lot of what that is about impermanence and losses in life, things, people, abilities. And so it's really, we do a lot of, we call it, you know, mindfulness practice. So I'm going to walk you through something that's really short, and then I'll go ahead and put it on the community so you'll have those questions. I want to answer that for yourself. Get out your journal, answer these questions, and have maybe get a group together, at least another heart friend, and have a conversation. All right, so take a nice deep breath in and out. And I want you to imagine that you're at the end of your life. What are you most proud of? What do you wish you had done? Or maybe you had done differently? Who would you like to have had a better relationship with? What was your legacy? And what is the title of your biography? Take a nice deep breath in and out. And I really want you to maybe go back to this and really spend some time with this and really be honest with yourself about it so you can really step forward to having your bonus round. My husband should have died on many counts in 2016, and so he says now he's on his bonus round. And it's really fun watching him really going after things that he always did, but in a different way, a much more heart-centered way, that I'm going to go after it and make it happen. He's more in an allowing place. So the title of my biography is She Was a Great Friend. And how about you guys? Anything with any of those questions, what you're proud of, what you might have done differently, better relationship, legacy, biography, anything come up for you? Oh, do I need to bring you back to life?
There we are.
Ooh, sorry, I put you. I needed to kill you. It was a nice clean. It was a nice clean meditation there. Sorry, I do that now. I need people.
Right.
I learned when we did our stuff shows with Phoenix. I realized that was more powerful to put everybody, you know, mute everybody except the presenter. So go ahead.
Okay.
Alana.
Oh, okay. Yes. Do you want to know what the title of my book is?
Or whatever you'd like to share. Whatever's coming to you from that experience, anything you want to share.
Well, one of the things I think was, I think it was like, as I pictured myself, you know, I think that my one regret would be that I didn't get out and do more. Do you know, sometimes I choose inaction instead of choosing action. And I think that if I would have one regret, it would be that, you know, not going ahead and doing the things that are in my heart right now. You know, like I need to look back and say, yes, I did the things I wanted to do.
Beautiful.
And I think for me, the title of my book, would be "Joy Was Her Compass."
Ooh, that's nice.
I like that. I love it.
I may work on that now.
Well, I thank
joy
you both
is
for
my
you know
joy is
for
my
your
compass.
Heart friendship,
yeah.
Right? And and joy yeah. truly is your compass, and that's why we're you know people love to follow you, my dear.
Yeah.
We don't know where you're going, but we know it's going to be fun.
Let's do it. Let's do it. So encourage people to get The Five Intentions by Frank I'm not going to do well with this last name.
Oh, come on. You're Miss Savage. You can't say it.
I know. It's Ostaseki. And I actually bought this at Barnes & Noble. They had a copy, no problem. You can go to Amazon. This book is only about a year old, so it would make it easy for people to have access to it. So I just encourage people
right.
to go and get that done. Yeah. Yeah. So thank
I
you, Alana.
Mine
thank
yesterday
you, Amy.
And got it today.
And you got it today?
I ordered.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So,
see, there you go.
Yeah.
It's very,
so
very
go,
available.
Amazon.
So get yourself a hydrangea. Enjoy having it around and let it be your bud buddy. And it's always something fun to do. And we'll see you next time at the cafe. Remember, I remind everybody, go back and listen to the meditation again. And we'll hopefully get Alana to go ahead and post that on our Transformation Cafe Facebook page. So that way it's available for people.
Yeah.
So, all right. Thank you.
We'll
all right. You guys have a great week.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next time.
Take care.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.